This podcast is dedicated to Hannah and Renee. Hi everyone, Tracy DW here. Every single one of us has that one particular person in our lives with whom we plan and experience all kinds of crazy with. That one person who inspires you to raise your level of expectation, get you out of your comfort zone, to push you beyond your limits and experience that crazy element of yourself and what being alive has to offer. If you don't have a person in your life like this, then may I suggest that you get one? My dear friend Hannah is just that one person in my life. A little dose of crazy every now and then is like chicken soup. It is good for the soul. On the evening of the 8th of September 2022, I picked up my mobile phone and called Hannah. Knowing that she and her family were admirers of the royal family, I knew that she would definitely want to visit London and see the late monarch lying in state. After a brief conversation confirming her intentions, I agreed to go with her as she had planned to take her children along with her. Having not seen each other since Birmingham 2022 in the summer, I decided it would be a great opportunity to catch up and go for a coffee after the visit. 8 days later, driving on my way home, I had only left work 20 minutes previously when the phone rang. It was Hannah. I answered the call, hands-free of course, and as I listened to her, I began to realise the reality of the context of the unprecedented time that we were living in, where, for the past 7 days, the country seemed to be in a state of crazy. As Hannah explained her plans to go and begin queuing to get into Westminster Hall that very night, I contemplated the full scale of what my good intentions in supporting her was going to mean for me. You realise that it's going to be up to a 24-hour wait to see the lying in state, I said. They had closed the queue at Southwark Park for 6 hours and formed another queue to wait to wait. They've only just reopened the initial queue and got rid of the backlog, I said. And then I asked her, can you contemplate waiting 6 hours in addition to the 24? Hannah replied almost immediately, my children and I are going no matter what, and being with you, I know it will be crazy, but an amazing experience, because that's exactly what we do together. And that is Tracy. With a deep sigh of resignation, I accepted. I've never been a staunch royalist, so why did I decide to go? Fear and excitement of the challenge of the unknown, to acknowledge that history was taking place and the chance to be a part of it, or was it an opportunity to carry out some active research in being a participant in a process rather than just a passive observer? It was all these things, but most of all, it was Hannah's comments which brought to the forefront her faith and admiration for who I was and reminded me of the quality and depth of our friendship. And so it was that we met at Victoria Station on Saturday the 17th of September at 2 a.m. And it was there that Hannah and I and her daughter began our journey of crazy. We arrived at Southwark Park to join the queue at 2:40 a.m. Expecting a 3 to 6 hour wait time, we were pleasantly surprised to be moving along and out of this holding area with our wristbands by 3:30. We made our way through Bermondsey, where we did have a 30-minute wait, but then a further wait in London Bridge Park with an undisturbed view of Tower Bridge, spectacularly lit against the early morning skyline, resplendent in purple lighting to commemorate the late monarch. At around 5:40 a.m., which was the coldest part of the morning, we began to walk at a slow but steady pace, treating ourselves and Hannah's daughter to a mini tour of the South Bank with a view of many of the city's central landmarks: City Hall, HMS Belfast, the Globe Theatre and the Tate Modern, where just a few in view as we walked past London and Southwark bridges. By 11 a.m. we had reached the National Theatre, and by 12:30 we were walking past the London Eye. Hannah and I were full of optimism and realised that our anticipated wait time of 30 hours may be significantly reduced to less than half of that. However, our hopes were dashed by something that was unanticipated: an impromptu visit by the new King and Prince of Wales, which held several hundred of us kettled on the footpath between Westminster and Lambeth Bridge, adding a further 40 minutes to our wait time. We were finally on the move again, and as we climbed the steps onto Lambeth Bridge, we were greeted by several volunteers who applauded us and said, "Well done for reaching this point. You only have another 3 hours to go." Hannah and I looked at each other. How could it still be another 3 hours to wait? The Houses of Parliament, Westminster Palace, was right there. Why was it another 3 hours before we could enter into the hall? As we entered Victoria Park, we began to realise what the volunteers meant and what was in store for us: a gauntlet of what seemed to be endless rows of queue lines to walk through. They say that the darkest hour is just before the break of dawn, and this was a dark hour, or should I say, a dark 2 hours. As I wrapped my thermal jumper and shawl over my shoulders in response to the afternoon heat, I felt as if I was back at Southwark Park, where our journey of crazy all began. We had been on the move for over 12 hours. It was the first time Hannah, her daughter and I became aware of our fatigue and felt our energy draining, but our motivation and spirits were still high. Finally, at 3:50 p.m. we moved through the security, and 13 hours and 17 minutes after the start of our journey, at 3:53 p.m. we entered Westminster Hall. What struck me as I walked through the entrance was the atmosphere of silent reverence, as people from all walks of life filed past a coffin bearing the royal standard with a crown of diamonds that sparkled in the afternoon rays that shone through the windows of the hall. We had arrived just in time to witness a changing of the guard, which was great for Hannah's daughter to witness. As we fell in line to file past, I could sense that this was a special moment for Hannah, who wanted to share this with her daughter. I fell behind and allowed them to pass through as I stopped and looked at the coffin, the crown, orb, sceptre and the royal standard. I neither bowed nor curtsied, but As I looked on, I began to contemplate the demise of the monarch and what the significance of this moment could possibly mean. Apart from being Britain and the Commonwealth's longest reigning monarch, how will history remember the late Queen Elizabeth II? Will her demise signal the gradual waning of Britain's global influence? The late monarch could arguably have been the greatest diplomat that Britain ever had. She knew how to be the centre of attention without making it all about her, and she was able to make her presence felt and appearance seen without making her opinions heard. Is Britain still relevant on the world stage? And how much power does it still have? With the extraordinary outpouring of grief from many parts of the country, as well as mourning from around the world, representatives from 200 countries attended the late Queen's state funeral. With the exception of a handful of countries who were not invited for obvious reasons, former colonies, British territories, sovereign states, republics and sovereign nations all attended. Was the world acknowledging the pomp and ceremony of Britain's diplomatic strength? Or did these representatives merely want a front row seat to witness firsthand the end of an era? The late Queen's demise is also part of a bigger picture. As the wind of change continues to blow across the world, it brings Britain its own share of transitions, beginning with the Scottish referendum in 2014, which threatened to break up the Union, the United Kingdom European Union referendum, otherwise known as Brexit, which saw Britain decide to break away from the European Union in 2016, eventually becoming a reality in 2020. With 2020 came COVID-19, and the way we lived and to some extent worked was changed forever. We experienced a new Prime Minister and a new government, having to address the fallout from global high energy prices, low food supplies, and a war in Eastern Europe influenced by imperial ideology, which seeks to threaten the very existence of democracy. Despite this, Britain remains the fifth largest economy and a member of the G7, possessing many assets that could help to retain a lot of soft power globally, such as vaccines, healthcare, scientific research, finance, intelligence, and military hardware. However, the ability to negotiate new trade deals with key countries requires many soft skills, as the days of colonizing are long gone. It is difficult to think that the past 70 years may have been nothing more than a smokescreen used to hide the harsh reality from the British population that the worldview of this island has gradually become less flattering. With a new monarch, King Charles III, on the throne and a new Prime Minister in Liz Truss at No. 10 Downing Street, Britain has reached a crossroad and must now decide which direction to take. A calamity waiting to happen, or a golden opportunity for a reset? If you liked this podcast, then stay on this listening platform and check out my other podcast episodes in relation to this one, such as Long to Reign Over Us, The Prelude, and Long to Reign Over Us, The Main Act, both episodes commemorating the Platinum Jubilee. And also more recently, an open letter to Charles III, where I share my reflections on the new king and the future of the monarchy. And don't forget what I call the heart and soul of the Stories to be Told movement, my stories or poetic narratives, Caribbean Wind, Caribbean Rush, Knights at the Round Table, the Berlin Conference, 1884, and Gone with the Wind, Macmillan's Speech for Change, are all available on the website in both Kindle and paperback formats. And also the publication of the latest four titles. If you want to find out more, just visit storiestobetold.com and check out the learning platforms for The Journey's End, Giving Back Hong Kong, Bite from the Big Apple, A Story for New York, Hope for Zimbabwe, Arise the Phoenix, and A Story for South Africa. The paperbacks and Kindle versions are also live on Amazon. And don't forget to enter the draw for a free copy of Aspiring Authors magazine for Black History Month 2022 if you want to be in with a chance of being my winner for the final month of October. Yes, this promotion is coming to an end, and I'd like to say a huge thank you to all of you who entered. I'd like to say congratulations to Harold and Rima, who are my winners for August and September. A copy of Aspiring Authors is on its way to you. Feel free to like, follow and share us on social media when you visit the website. Just click on to whichever social media link you'd like to follow us on. And as always, it's a pleasure and a privilege to share my learning journey with you in this podcast series, and I encourage you to either begin or continue your own. History is a matter of fact or perspective. I'm Tracy DW, and this is a Stories to be Told podcast. Stay safe, stay well, stay blessed. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next page.